As I was preparing the message this week, the thought went through my mind and a question came up was, can God love us too much to give us everything we ask for? That's a question we pretty much have to ask ourselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I've been reading a book by him, was a German minister. He was executed by Heinrich Himmler in 1945, and he wrote this book. It's a small book, only 102 pages. It's called Life Together. And he said in it, when we pray for the big things, but forget to give thanks for the ordinary, and yet really not small gifts, how can God entrust great things to one who will not thankfully receive from him the little things? That's a pretty good question when we stop and think about it. Because a lot of us pray for big stuff. And then when God answers a small prayer, we forget to say thanks. Many of us have questions about prayer. One of them is, what do I ask for in prayer? What do I need most? What do I need done now? A lot of people struggle with, how do I ask? How do I ask God for something that's a supreme being? Well, just like we ask our earthly fathers for things. Or like our children or grandfather ask us. The same type of relationship. Or maybe the next question might be, is it God's will for me to have what I'm asking for? What is his will? What's he want for me? And I think one of the great concerns of a majority of people is the word unanswered prayer. How do I deal with that? What do I do about it? How do I feel about a God that says you can ask for anything in my name and I'll do it? And yet when we ask for things in his name and it's not granted, do we consider that unanswered prayer? Have you ever been in a situation where God has talked to you or dealt with you about talking to someone about something? And then if you started to do it, you felt like, I shouldn't do this. And you just feel like that prompting of his spirit to not do what you feel like he has prepared you to do. And there are reasons that he does that. And there are reasons that things happen like that. I've often wondered why he would lead us up to that point and then say, well, stop. I don't want you to do that. I'm not sure if it's obedience or whatever. Have we ever asked God to change someone in our lives? Maybe they're doing something that we don't like and we've asked them to do it. Wives pray for their husbands that will change and do things different. I heard a man speak yesterday and it was a phenomenal message from his heart about being a 40-year alcoholic. I'm sure his wife prayed for him more than once to turn from that. He's clean. He's sober. And he's no longer an alcoholic. He was, but he's no longer. We pray for our family. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. I mentioned wives pray for husbands. Husbands pray for their wives. Change them when maybe he might need to change us first before he can change anybody else. Brenda read in Matthew chapter 17 about this meeting on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus was there, and all of a sudden this cloud vision comes and Moses and Elijah is there, and Peter said, let me build shelters. The Amplified says booths. Some say monuments. Let me build something. Build something here for the three of you. And that was a prayer. but it was inappropriate. And sometimes our prayers are inappropriate. Sometimes they're inappropriate because maybe they can be selfish. The salesman praying for a new account so he can be the number one salesman, or he can look better to his sales manager than any other person on their sales team. Maybe it could be a Christian artist praying for the next big hit so that he would gain popularity and become someone special. It's not wrong to pray for things, but we have to watch what our motive is. Is the motive about me, or is the motive about other things? And so we have to ask ourselves, does this request that I'm making, does it bring glory to God? Does it bring glory to me? Is it going to make me look so much better because of what I'm seeking and what I'm asking for? So we need to check our motives. We need to check our desires when we stop and think about what we're asking for and what we're praying for. Sometimes we get down and we wonder the why. We ask the why. Maybe the prayer is about an issue in our lives and we miss the whole point of what he's trying to show us. A quote I read this week is, no matter what the reason, if the request is wrong, the answer is no. If the request is inappropriate, then it's no. Sometimes we pray for healing, and Greg just mentioned this young lady by the name of Alicia. And we pray for her, and we will continue to pray for her and continue to trust God to heal her. God heals some people. Some people aren't healed. So the question comes, why? And the answer to that question is because our purpose has been fulfilled. There's an interesting story in Luke chapter 13. I want to read the first four verses because we stop and think about maybe as a Christian we're immune to certain things and we really aren't. But it says, just at the time some people came who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate, the governor, had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus replied to them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they have suffered in this way? And he's going to talk about the other Galileans in a second, but are the ones that went that had the sacrifices with mixed blood, are they worse than the other one? He says, I tell you no, but because you repent, change your old way of thinking, turn from your sinful ways, and live to change lives, you will all likewise perish. Or do you assume that those 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell on and killed were worse sinners than the others who live in Jerusalem? What he's saying, there were people in the temple worshiping. Righteous people worshiping. The temple collapsed and 18 people were killed indiscriminately. Are they any different than the ones that he was talking about before? Christians suffer. Christians die. Lots of Christians have died since man was created. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Paul spent many days in prison and he dies at the hand of an executioner. And there was probably no greater apostle in the New Testament than Paul. James, one of Jesus' apostles, was beheaded. Pretty morbid, pretty sad when you stop and think about it, but we look at that as God has the victory through the resurrection. And so when we pray for things and they don't come to pass like we think they should, maybe they're inappropriate. Because God has fulfilled, our purpose has been fulfilled through God. We should realize we don't know more than God. That's a tough one. Because in this age, many people think that they do know more than God. And so the prayer is possibly inappropriate. Maybe it's the wrong timing. Maybe God's not ready to give you what you're asking. Maybe he's wanting us to build our faith, take that grain of mustard seed faith and build it. Unfortunately, in our microwave society, we do not always get an immediate, instant answer. Sometimes it takes time. And so when it takes time, one of the things he's trying to do with this is develop some patience in our lives. Sometimes we need to change the request. It may be the request that we made may be out of line. The request, the need may be legitimate, but how we're going about it may be wrong. It may be the wrong timing. Maybe he wants to build character. Sometimes he wants us to learn to endure, for as the Bible says, for a season. Learn to endure for a period of time as he works to bring about what we need. And as we shared a couple weeks ago about Daniel, when the angel came to Daniel, it took him 21 days to fight through the adversary and the spirits in order to get to Daniel. He said, we heard your prayer the first day, but I've been 21 days fighting. And so sometimes it takes prayer. Sometimes it takes submission to what God's will is. But what if I don't get this? Am I going to be okay? I have to submit to what he has and what's best for us. So if there's some barriers to prayer, like inappropriate prayer or maybe timing, maybe there's some ways to pray through and find those answers, or things called prayer busters. One author I read this week said the greatest motivator to praying is seeing answered prayer. And sometimes when we do things for someone and they are appreciative and blessed that we helped them out or did something for them, and they come and say thank you, it rekindles our belief in mankind. It makes us feel better about what's going on. And it's especially true when the answer comes in a different way than we might have expected. A different miracle that God did for us than what we might have expected, the way we might have wanted it to happen. There's an Old Testament story about Moses, and when the Israelites were in battle, and he was standing on the mountain, and as long as he held his hands up, they won. But when his hands fell down to his side, the Israelites started to be defeated. And so he raises his hands up again, and they start to win. And finally, two men come over and hold Moses' hands up so that the Israelites can win that battle. Sometimes it takes others to help us through the battle. Prayer may be inappropriate, prayer may be the bad timing, or it could just be something wrong with the person that's asking. Sometimes that's a little difficult to accept. But it might be because there's prayerlessness in our lives. We have not earnestly, diligently, fearlessly, maybe faithfully prayed for something that we needed. Something that needed to be done maybe in our family, needed to be done in our lives. We prayed for several people up here a few weeks ago about things that, you know, I mean, that they needed. Most of them were health issues. There was an addiction issue. And so we can pray for those, and we can pray for those people's needs. But the other thing important is if we tell someone, and we did that, but if we tell someone that we're going to pray for them, have we done it? Have I been diligent in what I said I would do? And I think that some people come to God with too small a container. Some people come with a cup when maybe they need to bring a 55-gallon barrel. Because if we're earnestly and diligently and faithfully and fearfully praying for something, we can be assured that he's going to answer that prayer. May not be the way that we want it, but we're not smarter than what God is. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin in our lives that we're not aware of. Maybe something that we did years ago. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe there's something going on that is the little thing that stops the motor from running. Last summer, I couldn't get my weed eater to run. And I dumped the gas and put new gas, and it still wouldn't run. So I take it to this guy over in Westchester at a place called Jericho Lawn and Garden, because he'd done some stuff for me before. And he said, well, I can charge you a service call and tell you what's wrong with it, or you can go dump the gas out and put this $9 can of pre-mixed gas in it, and it'll run. Well, I figured $9 was probably cheaper than what the service call was going to be, so I took his word for it. You know what? He was right. That was the thing that kept the motor from running. There are things in our lives sometimes that keep them from moving. Matthew said in chapter 5, he said, so if you're presenting your offering at the altar and while there you remember that your brother has something, such as a grievance or legitimate complaint against you, leave your offering there, go to the altar and go first make peace with your brother and then come and present your offering. Peter talks a lot about husbands respecting their wives. He talks a lot about loving each other in relationships. And I know there are difficulties at times in relationships. There are problems that happen. And so we need to do the best that we can to resolve those issues and to correct them and to make them right. Sometimes there's uncaring attitudes in people's lives. We're not going to change the world, but we can care about the world and we can care about our neighbor. We can do some things that would change that. Sometimes it's inadequate faith. James 5:8 talks about if anyone lacks wisdom, go ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you. He'll give you wisdom. That's something that's going to benefit and going to bless other people. And when we get that wisdom, when we pray, we should believe for a mighty outpouring of God's work and operation in our lives. Because he expects us to go do the work. He expects us to go do what he said. We may not understand how much God wants to change the impossible. We may not understand how much God wants to change the untouchable. We may not understand how much God really wants to move mountains. We may not understand that. We may not have any comprehension at all. But the one thing that we know, that when the motive is right, when the timing is right, and when the person is right, God will move mountains. Because that's what it takes. Appropriateness of prayer, the right timing, and the right person. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. Thankful, Lord, that you can show us when things are appropriate, when things are right, in your time. And you can show us that if there's relationship issues, unconfessed sin, something in our lives that's not allowing that motor to run, that you can show us what it is and you can help us through it. Father, bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.